Well, you know, lightsabers can't melt plastic pyramids.
It's true. It's true.
It's a little known unknown fact.
That got dark.
Got dark real quick. Way to go, Nathan. See, this is why I self-deprecate myself. If I don't, things get out of hand. Jesus. Title
so far. Title.
Two buds, one mic.
Two buds, one mic. Although that might just be the corporate name for the entire entity, depending on the amount of podcasts we have.
It's true. We have big ideas.
Big ideas.
Small shed. Big ideas. That's another one. It's golden.
Yes. I also got to work for adult film.
We're also working on that.
True.
Right now.
So today we are talking about the celestial race from Star Wars. Hosting today, I am professional and published short fiction author Tim TK, and with me today is soon to be professional webcomic writer
and human waste of space Nathan Beaton.
Well, that's not true.
It's true.
No, okay. You're very self-deprecating.
I know. It's important. I've already got that part down of being a writer.
Sure. I mean, I guess it's part of it. So today we're talking about the Celestials, and the way the show works, I have the official Wikipedia up, as well as a set of notes that I've taken in my extensive 10-minute research of this race. They are a bit of a niche race, and they're closest thing you get to, I guess, the space gods in Star Wars. I mean, technically there is a race of space gods, but these are like the Norse version of gods. They have like mortal forms.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to get right into that. So first thing we'll talk about is that it's widely accepted by both light side and dark side users.
Interesting.
That the Celestials... even today, can control the actual balance of the Force.
So this is in current canon. This isn't Legends. This has been going on now.
We're not even sure. I haven't seen too many current mentions of it. So it started on Legends and even continues up into some of the new canon.
So it is confirmed. So what you're telling me is that there could be a crossover with Thor from the MCU. Or just in the comics in general, showing up in a Star Wars movie.
I would hope so.
It'll happen.
Exactly. I mean, you've got Mace Windu in both of the universes. So Nick Fury is a Jedi.
Yeah, there you go.
And he might be Snoke. Depending on whether or not you choose to believe that.
I don't believe that.
I mean, that's fair.
I...
What if Snoke was Mace Windu as a Celestial?
Because
that could be all explained in this.
Well, that would boggle my mind. I don't think J.J. Abrams, who is now going to be probably directing the movie where they're going to reveal who Snoke really is, I don't think he'd get that crazy with it.
I could always hope so. I'm always hoping that, at some point, it just... Some crazy dude, like... I forgot his name. How do I forget his name? He did Eraserhead... Twin Peaks. Was it Lynch?
Yeah, David Lynch.
David Lynch. At some point, I want David Lynch to direct Star Wars.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Because there's so much weird canon in there already that we could just go into it. But yeah, so they haven't been mentioned in the new books, but they are... Their descendants are mentioned in Rebels and in Rogue One. The temple that Chirrut is a defender of.
Correct. Yeah. And let's not forget that there are angels in this universe... As confirmed in episode 1.
Yes.
Play that clip. I don't know if we're doing clip cut-ins yet, but do that.
I don't think we have the rights to that.
All right. Fair enough. You know the scene. Just go watch episode one again. Or don't. Please don't. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, it's a machete cut. One is a movie you absolutely do not watch. You don't watch one.
If you're watching this, you're a niche enough nerd to know exactly what we're talking about, so...
Yeah. So, yeah. How do you watch Star Wars? I'm a fan of watching the machete cut.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the machete cut is watching Star Wars in a way that makes sense. Almost like Metal Gear Solid, you only put the past part in after it gets talked about. So I watch 4, 5, 2, 3, and then 6.
Because you have to. The whole Darth Vader thing is spoiled for everybody. I mean, I knew that before I watched Star Wars.
I didn't, actually.
Well, you're the lucky one.
That's a tightly kept secret in my family.
That's good. But, yeah, other than that, you're going to have, you know, the biggest cinematic reveal in the entire franchise ruined for you if you watch it in chronological order.
True. Yeah. If I do go back and watch one, it's only the, either the Duel of the Fates or the pod racing scene, because it's so cringy.
It's great. It's, yeah, that's an accurate term for it.
I mean, so, back to Mace Windu. Being Nick Fury, being
I think we've already gone. Got off base of what we wanted this to be.
I mean, it's great, though.
It's
content.
Yeah, alright.
Yeah. So, the Celestials, this goes all time together, because they also have the ability to fix major plot holes.
Oh, there you go!
Yeah.
So, what you're telling me is the Celestials is just shorthand for writers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so... And one of their first mentions was by a race known as the Keelix that were insectoids. They have a hive mind. A home planet on Alderaan, actually.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Princess Leia and her family kicked off the natives. but one of the Keelix in the book...
Check your Alderaanian privilege there, Leia.
Yeah. I mean, Princess Leia, she is the epitome of privilege in Star Wars.
Exactly.
Was describing them in a book by Troy Deming when they first got mentioned. He said this guy, it's Keelik Bugman, described people who were accepted to be descendants of the Celestials. They're called the Ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So now there's going to be a crossover with the Matrix.
Yes.
So Keanu Reeves is going to show up.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. So the Ones, the plural singulars, he described them as being, he said that he saw them coalescing out of a geyser on a forest planet that was never named.
Hmm.
So they just were appeared out of a geyser. And...
As one does.
Yeah, you know. so they have force powered, like, just, like, these are descendants, these aren't actually Celestials, these are, like...
These are those angels.
Yeah, these are the people like Sylon, but they still have the force power to rematerialize themselves.
Hmm.
They don't need a transporter. They can do it with just brain power, brain juju. So then that led to the widespread belief that the Ones actually became just corporate entities. So they shed off their physical bodies and joined the force itself. And so that's how they still control the balance and flow of the Force today.
So, like, in that really terrible episode in the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon where Anakin gets sucked into that weird dimension with all those ghosts who want him to stay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are actually supposed to be, like, far distant relatives of these guys.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess, in the weird canon, non-canon that is Star Wars.
So essentially, like, how you have, like, the light and, like, all those weird gods and... Warcraft, they'll probably get into another episode. These guys are like that for Star Wars, so they are the reason the Force exists. Like, they essentially brought it in, spread it around the universe, and then now create it themselves.
This all basically stemming back to Warhammer Fantasy with the Chaos Gods versus, what, help me out here, that one god, the humans worship.
Oh, Sigmar?
Sigmar, yeah. Yeah. This is pretty much that, also.
Pretty much.
Everything comes back to that.
Yeah. They came out about the same time, actually, didn't they?
Star Wars and Warhammer?
Yeah. Warhammer Fantasy, because I think that was like a 70s creation.
Well, yeah, but the movies weren't talking about gods and space bugs.
They weren't.
With Keanu Reeves. So, I'm pretty sure Warhammer has a leg up.
This is true. Warhammer,
Well, that'll be talked about in a different episode.
Many episodes.
Many episodes.
Warhammer created everything, essentially. If you enjoyed a book, it's because of Warhammer.
That's true.
I'd say.
Well, that's what this podcast will turn into. It's connecting everything. It'll be connecting nerd history. So yeah. We'll even go to saying Harry Potter is connected to Warhammer. I don't know if that's true or not. We'll find a way.
Lord Voldemort is just Slanish.
Exactly.
There you go. That's going to lead to some weird fan fiction.
It is.
Some real weird fan fiction. It'll be great on the wand. Giant vagina. Yes.
This is very unfocused. If anyone actually listens to this, we'll do better in the future.
I mean, we're just gonna start talking about whatever, and wherever it takes us, it takes us.
We're figuring this out as it goes along. It's all a working process.
Yeah, I'm just pointing up the talking points, what's interesting about whatever the topic of the week is.
Alright.
So the ones, well, they're in the universe, the galaxy, mm-hmm. the unnamed Star Wars galaxy. Does it ever get named? I don't feel like the galaxy ever has a name.
It doesn't. It's just always referred to as the galaxy.
I mean, there's kind of... I guess the reason for that also explained conveniently with this race.
Maybe the galaxy is called far, far away a long time ago. Or however that is pictured.
The phrase at the beginning of every...
Yeah, maybe yeah. That's the name of the actual galaxy. Maybe everybody's got it wrong.
Maybe. Well,
it's just... I'm grasping at straws here.
Could also just be called George Lucas's fever dream.
It's the Georgeverse.
The Georgeverse. There you go. I like that. So while they were in the Georgeverse, they had contact with six different races, sort of the ancient races, which also surprisingly humans were part of, but they were cave humans at the time.
Mm.
So however humans got there, they were connected to...
space bugs.
Space bugs and the Celestials. But... what I found really interesting was in particular, the Celestials also weren't particularly aggressive or like conquerors. Right.
Let's take a little editing break. I'm going to put the dogs in.
Okay. So as I was saying, the Celestials had contacted a bunch of these ancient races. But I guess some of these races are just so intimidated by their mere... space godness.
I mean, if Jesus came down and he turned out to be a praying mantis, I'd be a little intimidated.
A little bit too, but so Celestials were actually very humanoid, I guess, in appearance. They just liked working with bugs.
Oh, alright.
Bugs make good workers. And that's not just a fantasy trope. So one race, the Sharu, were so intimidated that they wanted to escape. Just the mere tension of the Celestials.
They had performance issues.
They had performance issues. So what they did is they built giant plastic pyramids to hide under and drain themselves of all of their intellect.
Alright.
So they put tinfoil cones on their head and just made themselves stupid.
That may or not be an allegory for current events, but alright.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the conspiracy got to be too much. They got too afraid of the water turning the frogs gay.
Mm.
That they just put cones on their head and headed in a corner.
Mm.
And so the race, one of the races I talked about earlier, the Keelix, they were recruited out of Alderaan to serve as their builders.
Alright.
And what they did is they took, I guess, their gene seed, Warhammer,
mm-hmm.
and just spread them all over the eastern belt of the Star Wars galaxy, the Georgeverse.
Just like I did last summer. Heyo!
Hey!
That doesn't fly. That doesn't scan.
I'm trying to figure out how you, Because you're not spreading your own seed, you're spreading someone else's seed.
Well, that's true.
Like, just, so like, collect a jar?
I went to a sperm bank, and I got George Lucas's seed, and I spread it all across the eastern seaboard.
That's valid. So that's what you did when everyone lost power during Hurricane Irma. You just, you know what, you're gonna get.
Yeah, let's get some more. Let's get some more crazy directors out there.
Exactly. Some people who make ideas so stupid they have to be written 20 times before he gets more stupid ideas out there. So a fun thing the Kelix and the Celestials did is they actually built the Corellian system.
They just built planets?
Yeah, so they... Star Wars historians, not people who study the books, but historians in Star Wars.
In Star Wars. Not us, but...
Yes. The historians that we're historizing about discovered that the Corellian system and three other systems were so nonsensical that they had to be built. And the Kelix, I guess, fessed up to it eventually. That using giant space tractors, they pushed a bunch of space matter together to create planets and like an organized system. There was just a loose sun floating about. And a bunch of planets just hanging out in dead space that they moved together and made a functional life-sustaining system.
Well, you know, planet artisans is a craft that isn't taken very seriously nowadays.
How many years of trade school do you think that is?
Probably enough to the amount of years that they took to make the whole system. They were probably still paying off student loans.
That makes sense.
That was... very long-winded to get to a joke.
You got there eventually, though.
We'll get there.
Topical. Sally Mae, everyone.
Wow, we are really stepping into some dangerous territory.
Yeah, we are. Speaking of cannibalistic world eaters, the race known as the Builders, or the Rakata, were one of the... they're a proxy of a proxy race. That the Celestials had. So the Celestials had their six people they chose to work for them, their client races.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them was like, hey, you want to get in on this pyramid scheme for ourselves?
Not plastic pyramids, regular pyramids. Schemey pyramids.
Yeah. Pyramids with percentages and income that eventually, you didn't realize it, but you are paying your boss more money than he's paying you. The Rakata realized that. And they had their massive revolt about 1,000 BBY. I'm not sure where that is in Star Wars. I think that's like before.
It's before the Battle of Yavin.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 35,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, which still doesn't make sense because that's still like in other Star Wars canon, that's millions of years before the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Well, they touch on that in Swoter though. Like in the original game, you run into those guys.
Yeah.
They made the Starforge, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Builders made the Starforge under the influence of the Celestials.
There we go.
Yeah. So it was actually Celestials that made the Builders, or the Rakata, build the Starforge. So, if nothing else, we learned that the Star Wars timeline exists on five different scales. None of them work together.
No. That's why they have two different canons now.
Yep. And so after this revolution, the Celestials sort of disappeared into the unknown reaches of space. And that's where we got the hyperspace turbulence, which explains why the galaxy is never actually named. Because it's impossible to travel outside of the galaxy.
This I do know about.
Yeah, so they create this massive turbulence. And it's the idea is that that was actually the giant wall that the Celestials built to keep the Rakata out.
We're not going to go there with this topical discussion. It's too easy. It's low-hanging fruit.
It is.
We're not going there.
It is.
We know what you're thinking it. We're not going there.
It's saying it's the greatest wall the galaxy's ever seen.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. So the Rakata were kept in the Georgeverse, and the Celestials were out hanging with the weird Force-Eater guys at the time, while they were still primordial ooze, I guess.
They were still a twinkle in the primordial ooze's eye.
Yeah, before they invaded and caused all that weird stuff at the end of Legends.
Yeah,
although that we did get the really cool arc with Boba and Luke being best bros.
Because you know, fan fiction needs to be real sometimes.
Sometimes it works out. But the Rakata, much like the weird Force Eaters, broke the barrier. They climbed over the wall. And just started wasting. they waged what is referred to as a war of extinction against the Celestials. So not just, like, fighting until surrender, but fighting until we have murdered the last cell.
That's pretty metal for Star Wars.
It is. Lurkata were also known to have used dark side force magic, so powerful that they could consume planets.
You know, you need to be thorough.
You need to be thorough, yeah. And so they got the name of Void Eaters, I guess, from that, which kind of makes me think that maybe the Rakata are the ancestors of the Force Eaters at the end of Legends.
Hmm.
Some weird way.
That's... No, I think that makes sense, because the Force Eaters, you're referring to Yusang Bon? Is that what they're called?
I think so, yeah. Either that, or the Yusang Bon might be the weird stuff in Doctor Who, I'm not sure. No, that's the Vashtu Narada.
Yeah, so I'm sure the one person who will listen to this will message us and tell us everything we've done wrong.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so they're probably... They jumped the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not going for it. Then they probably turned into these other Force Eater dudes who became the big baddies at the end of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
So we just did a little bit of theory crafting here.
We did.
Topical humor, theory crafting, learning about nerd stuff. We got it all here.
Yeah. So if you want to know, the Canadians killed Luke.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the science behind that.
Well, they did in Legends. He's still around. Although they still have a chance.
They do. They do. Especially with how manic depressive he sounds like in the trailers.
That's true.
Yeah. But this is also where you get another weird space god involved. The Keelix, the bug creatures, blame all of that on a creature known as Abeloth. Sounds a lot like another creature from Tolkien fame, as well as from weird off-brands of Christianity.
It's pretty close.
You know. This was possibly one of the Celestials who took mortal form as one of the ones, was a house servant, but grew so powerful in the light and dark side of the Force that she grew crazy in herself and decided to make the universe as crazy as she was.
Alright.
So she just started spreading dark magic around everywhere, and that influenced Lurkata to become cannibalistic and just power-hungry evil dudes. And this is where we get the construction of the Maw, the giant black hole in the center of The Georgeverse. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the Maw.
So the Maw is referred to in a couple of things, but it's this giant pit of, I guess, negative space, which just sucks and everything around it. So after the Celestials disappeared, the Keelix found two members of the ones called the Son and Daughter, and they believe that these are what became of Celestials. They coalesced themselves into two entities. So the entire race became two corporate bodies.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, topical.
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 Topical. You know, you gotta work that monopoly out.
I'm not here to make jokes for anyone. I'm just gonna allude to things and your brains will make the connection.
Yeah.
Alright?
Exactly. That dude, this, we're just going to get some letter about why Big Pharma is a good thing. I don't know. We're just talking about Star Wars, dude.
We're just talking about Star Wars. Everybody else is making the political connections.
Exactly. So the Son and Daughter commissioned the Keelix to construct the Maw as a prison for Abeloth. So she got kept in this giant, like, native space pit thing.
Space Guantanamo.
Space Guantanamo. Essentially, it's the space dark site. In order to do this, the Son and Daughter joined the Keelix Hive Mind, and in doing so, gave them incredible force powers. So this giant army of space ants essentially gained the ability to manipulate space and time to construct a black hole at the center of the galaxy.
Hmm. You know, I remember when Star Wars was about space wizards.
Yes. Now it's space bug wizards controlled by space gods. Fighting space hell from Norse mythology, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they did that. They trapped Abeloth in a little pit. And then they left. and took all the space powers away from them, and the Helix thought that the ones had gotten so mad at them, and the Celestials had gotten so mad at them that they abandoned them and became super repentant and left the galaxy themselves and then traveled into the unknown regions and the hole their Kata made in the turbulence to try and be closer to their gods. And it wasn't until a few hives started making their way back into the galaxy that the rest of the universe essentially relearned about the Celestials. So this entire thing comes from the legends of space bugs.
Space bugs?
Yeah.
So, okay, so in my religious analogy, the bugs are not Jesus. They are Moses on the mound, and then they are also... You understand.
Yeah, exactly. So it's...
They're the prophets.
The bugs are a collation of Moses, Muhammad, Buddha, John Smith, all those guys.
Who, you know, if you're a certain percentage of the United States who believe lizards run everything, I'm sure you also believe that, you know, all of Muhammad and Buddha were also space bugs.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Let me just tell 30% of Americans are idiots and also live their lives under plastic pyramids.
Yes. I mean...
I know...
Los Angeles, kind of.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
This is getting way too deep.
This is.
We're gonna get taken out pretty quickly by all sorts. We're speaking the truth too much. Like, looking at doing an analysis of Star Wars.
We're saying that maybe if more people went back to the old religion, the true religion, we'd have more Jedi and less Sith in the world.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's an actual religion in the UK.
It is now, yeah. I think it also got certified in the US.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, dudism is dude in the Northwest, so yeah. You know, anything's possible.
I almost got the Cult of Cthulhu is now a recognized religion.
There we go.
Almost got my licensure through them. Almost came out of Justice of the Peace third cult, like Cult of Cthulhu.
So would you just speak in tongues when you officiate weddings?
Something, yeah. Or let's see if I can like bring in some weird tentacle gags.
It'd be a real fun time.
It'd be a great time.
No, well, the tentacle gag come on the honeymoon. Heyo.
Hey. How you doing, Japan?
Let's alienate anybody who could possibly... Who have we not alienated yet?
Baristas?
Let's talk... Don't get me started on baristas. You know, I talk about how I write my Star Wars fan fiction, and they are just uninterested... at all, because they're writing their own Star Wars fan fiction that they're trying to talk to me about. It's super unprofessional of them.
It is. And you know, when you're sitting in a Starbucks or whatever working on your stuff on your laptop, and you always get like those weird judgmental glares. Like you go to any other place and you see those same people working on their own thing, and you're like, I see you.
That's when I knew I became a stereotype, was when I lived in Portland. And my artist, who's supposed to be making my comic book panels, said, hey, let's stop in the Starbucks and talk about our comic book. That's when I knew I became a stereotype.
Yeah, I've had moments like that. Yeah. Yep. I also had pretty much the same exact meeting in the Starbucks in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're those guys.
We are. Back to topic. So 30,000 years before the Battle of Yavin... or 2 million years before the Clone Wars, depending on your metric. The Celestials were nowhere found, and they're completely replaced by the Infinite Empire.
Ah, them I've heard about. Yes. In the popular MOBA game, SWTOR.
Yes. And they had taken full control of the galaxy, and the Celestials were just chilling in the Force. Making space magic.
I've made some space magic.
Yeah? Is that like Ric Flair?
That's going to be our second porno.
Yeah.
That's a callback. If you've been listening for this long, I don't know why you would be, but... Now my self-deprivation has gone into the podcast. I'm oozing out too much. I gotta reel it in. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was thinking of something like Ric Flair. And, you know, the wrestler, he called his penis Space Mountain.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'd ride that.
Heyo! Yeah, That's actually a shirt you can get off the WWE store, as I wrote Space Mountain. I've seen some people wear it, and I'm not sure if it's ironically.
You know, those are the people I want to hang out with.
They look pretty messed out. All right, well, that is the history of the Celestials and some other fun facts thrown in there.
Yeah, you've learned a lot about us, probably.
And a lot about Ric Flair's penis.
Yeah.
I hope to do the same next week. So, thank you for checking in. I'm Tim TK. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TimTKWriter. Where can the people find you online?
Not yet.
No.
No, just don't find me online yet. I will come out of the internet closet when I am ready.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. Have a good day.